And I also pray that you may just prepare our hearts, Lord, as Dan opens the scripture and speaks to us as well, Lord, that we may be prepared for what you have to say. So we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. We're in our month of prayer, and it's cool that we've had Howard here talking about Gideon's and God's word, because God's word is kind of the primary way that God communicates to us, I guess. That's the primary way he gets his message to us. And so I want to talk a little bit about the flip side of that this morning, because we're in our month of prayer, talking about prayer, which is our primary way of communicating back, right? And in any good relationship, right, communication needs to go both ways. Yeah, we all know that, right? And there's a term for that, isn't it, when you have that sort of circular thing, kenosis, you know, it's going both ways. But if you think about it for a minute, if you had a friend and your friend came to you and they said, that's a good friend, right? And they came to you and said, hey, listen, my lawnmower's broken down. Can I borrow your lawnmower? You know, I need to mow my lawns, right? And it's a good friend. So you'd probably go, yeah, that's fine. Look after it. But yeah, that's good, right? So because it's a good friend, right? But what if that friend just kept coming back and they would say, hey, can you lend me $20? Hey, can you babysit my kids this weekend? Hey, can you help me with this? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do that? After a while, you'd start sort of thinking about, what kind of friendship is this? You know? And so a few years ago, I became quite convicted that my prayers to God were kind of that way. My conversation with God, all my prayers were kind of a shopping list. Yeah? Ever felt like that? Yeah, so I'd be praying and saying, okay, God, I need you to help me deal with this person, you know. If I could get a good parking space on the way to work this morning, you know, that would be great. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. If you could provide some more money somehow, that'd be good. And all of my prayers were kind of like this big shopping list, right? I became quite sort of convicted about that. So I started studying prayer and just kind of looking a little bit into prayer in the Bible. I just want to share a couple of highlights this morning. We've got kind of a shorter session here, but just a couple of highlights that were really helpful to me studying this out, and hopefully will be helpful to you as well. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is talking about prayer, and we're going to pick this up partway through, right? Partway through the conversation. So Jesus is teaching about prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7, Jesus says this. He says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, right? Like the pagans do. Don't heap up empty phrases like the pagans do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Now, you see this a lot in religion, right? It's kind of everywhere. You know, go and say a few Hail Marys, right? Or, you know, the mantra thing, right? So you have this kind of phrase and you repeat this phrase, and if you keep repeating this phrase, then God or the gods are kind of forced to listen because you kind of keep saying it. Or, you know, we had a friend in Korea, and she went and visited a Buddhist fortune teller and paid him a lot of money. I think it was like $1,200 to come up with for her a lucky name. And she would change her name to that lucky name. And because she would be saying it all the time and people would be saying it all the time, the gods would listen, and that would bring her good luck. Good luck for her meant a lot of money, right? And so that was kind of the plan, right? But Jesus says, look, that's not the way it works, okay? That's not how it goes. The phrase I'll just go back, empty phrases, where he says, you know, don't heap up empty phrases. Really interesting phrase. Some versions of the Bible will translate it as empty repetition. I think NIV translates it as babbling, right? Babbling. It's a single Greek word, but it's a compound word. This is the word batolegeo. Batolegeo. So it's a compound word. The legeo part on the end just means to speak, to say something. The bato part on the front literally means to stutter or to stammer. But it's actually, grammatically, it's called onomatopoeia. Remember onomatopoeia? I had to think back. I was thinking back to high school. Think, what was that again, right? Onomatopoeia is a word that describes a sound. You know, we have a lot of those, eh? Like, you know, beep, buzz, ring, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo. We have a whole bunch of those, right? And that's what this is. So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying when you pray, don't go bada 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 bada. Right? That's what he's saying. And it's kind of like in English we say this, right? You know, yada yada yada. Yeah, it's a little bit different in many, but you know, the same kind of ideas. It's sort of repeated like that. In a lot of Greek texts and in other secular texts, when they use this word bado, they'll repeat it several times like that, like yada yada yada, right? Don't go bado 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 bado, right? There's probably a lot more in that than we've got time to look at this morning, but let's move on. Verse number 8 says this: Do not be like them, these people, these pagans who use this empty repetition, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Okay, so God knows what it is that you need. He knows about the shopping list before you even tell it to him, right? God wants us to come to him with our requests. We'll see that in a minute. But the point is that God is already aware of our needs, and so we don't have to use any kind of clever tricks to try and get his attention. If I keep saying this, or I keep doing this, or I keep, you know, repeating this, or then God will have to listen, right? Actually, God already knows. So that's important, right? As we come into this. So he starts off verse number 9. He says, "Pray then like this." And so what Jesus does now is he lays out a template, kind of like a boilerplate sort of template idea of to teach us how to pray. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was younger, what we used to do was we used to memorize this prayer, and then we would just say it at certain times, and it kind of was empty repetition, right? Which is exactly what he just said not to do, right? And so that's not what we want to do with this, right? And that was not Jesus' intent. What he's kind of giving us a kind of a framework of how prayer should go. And like I said, what I want to do is just look at a couple of things that he said. There's a lot in this, so we're just going to pull out a couple of main points here. And then I want to kind of show you just how kind of some ways that I tried to personally apply this, and it's been really useful to me. So it might be, hopefully it'll be same for you as well. So this is how he starts off, right? He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Okay. So Jesus is kind of balancing out a few different things here. Right, in this phrase, there's a lot in this, right? But he's balancing out a few different things. He starts off by addressing God as Father, right? And this was quite new. This is not something that you see in the Old Testament, so far as I know, right? This was a very new thing, and Jesus does this repeatedly when you see him praying. He refers to God as Father. I can imagine when he did this, I can just imagine the old guys bristling at this, right? That's not how that's not how you address God. But what he's doing there is he's showing the nature of the relationship, right? We have direct access to our Heavenly Father, like a child has relationship and connection to their father, or can have. So that's how he starts it out, right? But then he says this: "Hallowed be your name." And really the idea here is, your very being is holy. It's really important for us to understand this concept of holiness, because I think we sometimes can play this down a little bit. The Greek word that we usually translate as holy is the word hagnos, and it means hagios. Anyway, it literally means not earthy, right? Not earthy. But it gives the idea of this is on a whole nother level. Right, it's not like ordinary stuff. It's just on a whole different plane. It's about a majesty and a purity and a power that is so powerful that it's just on another scale, like just like orders of magnitude different. Making sense? Yep. And so that's what he's getting at there, right? So, I think it's kind of like the way that I sort of imagine the sun, right? So we have the sun, and we rely on the sun for warmth and to, you know, make things grow and to live and stuff. But if you get too close to it, it will kill you, right? Because it's very, very powerful, right? And I think that's the idea of sort of holiness in the way that ancient people kind of imagined it. You know, God said to Moses, "Take your sandals off your feet. You are on holy ground," right? You know, take this seriously, right? There's a power, and there's a majesty, and there's a purity there that is very, very powerful, right? So we have this balance, right? We have this God that we have a direct relationship with. He's not a distant God. You know, there was a song in the 90s, I think it was a Bette Midler song, and it was, you know, God is watching us from a distance. It's like, no, he's not. He's not a distant God, right? We have this connection with him, but he's also a very, very powerful, holy God. He's on a whole nother level, right? So we don't want to take God lightly. So that's kind of how he starts it off, right? So in practice, right, what does this mean for us in practice? Okay. How can we put this into play? So this is something that's been helpful to me, right? So I kind of imagine the sky, like how massive the sky is. So maybe it's like storm clouds or whatever, and I can kind of see it from horizon to horizon. Or the stars. You see the Old Testament writers do this a lot, just looking at the stars, right, and how massive the thing is. And then understand that God is bigger than that because that's his creation. He made that. Romans 1 talks about, you know, you got to be careful, right? You can get hooked up in the worship of these things, you know, that God created. And we want to be worshiping the creator, not the creation, because he is so much bigger than his creation. And so when I imagine that, if I can sort of picture that in my mind and think, wow, yeah, that's just huge. And God is so much more than that, so much more powerful than that, so much greater than that. And just sort of... you know, the idea that he is the powerful creator of the universe who is in control of everything, right? The holy God. Now, spend some time thinking about that until you get it clear in your head. Now, that a lot of days that might be a one-line prayer. You can just say that. That's fine. I can do that this morning, right? We've just been in worship, just, you know, praising God, looking at, you know, in song and thinking about Jesus and what he did and all of that. And I can just say that right now. But some days, depending on what you're going through, this can be tough. But if you read Habakkuk 1, you know, or even in Psalm 73 that we just read, right, where they're looking around and going, God, you know, Habakkuk's going, God, where are you? Where are you? What's going on here, right? So it's really, really important to try and get in that mode and stay there until you get it. Yeah. Yep. So that's kind of the first bit of it. Then he goes to the next bit, which is this, verse number 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so in the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God. Sometimes Jewish people, even now, a lot and traditionally, don't say the name of God out loud to try and, you know, as a sort of a way of trying to be respectful. God never actually says to do that, but you know, it comes from a good place. They would just want to be respectful, so they don't say it out loud. So Matthew's gospel, he's writing to the primarily a Jewish audience, and so he says kingdom of heaven. He calls it kingdom of heaven. So you see this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God thing in the gospels. Jesus would often say things like, you know, people say, you know, look after number one, but in God's kingdom, right, in God's economy, in God's way of doing things, that's not how it works. Whoever wants them to be a leader needs to be a servant, right? And he would say these things a lot. He would say, "In the kingdom of God is like this, right? The kingdom of heaven is like this." And he would kind of explain how things are supposed to work the way that God wants them to work, right? So what we're praying for is that we would do things the way that God wants them done. Yeah? Really interesting in Ezekiel, you know, the... Israel, they're facing this kind of imminent invasion from their enemies. And so there's this kind of question of, God, where are you? You know, what's going on here? And Ezekiel is addressing that a lot, or God is addressing that through Ezekiel. And at one point, God says, look, you know, it's almost, if you imagine a city, and the city has a big defensive wall around it, and the defensive wall has a breach in it. Someone's punched a hole in the wall. And God says, I looked for somebody to stand in the gap and I couldn't find anyone. And so what he's saying is, look, it's not my will that it goes down this way, but you guys have choices to make. I've let you make choices, and these are the choices that you've been making, and this is how it's playing out. In the New Testament, it says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God, right? That's his will. It's not, God's not willing that anyone should perish, right? But we have options here, right? We have choices. God has, in his sovereignty, has given us, you know, the ability to make these choices. And so we need to be praying for God's will to be done, right? And it's easy to kind of point the finger at everybody else, you know? Well, these people are just not doing what you know. But us, we need to be praying personally right? That we would do what God wants done, right? And the ultimate example of this is Jesus in Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he prays this, Father, if you're willing, right? He's about to face crucifixion and all the torture and all the pain that goes with that. And not only that, you know, there's more than that as well. You know, being turned on by his friends and more and more. But this is his prayer, right? Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, right? In other words, if this is what you, if it's what you want, can I not go through this, right? If there's another way to do this, can I not have to face this? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's what he's kind of getting at here, right? That we would pray like this, that we would go, okay, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, in practice, what does that look like? For me, it looks like this. It's saying this, your deal before my deal. Your deal before my deal, whatever that might include. Again, some days, this will be a quick one-line prayer. Some days this will be really, really tough, depending on what it is you're facing, what it is you're going through. You know, if you're facing an illness or the death of a loved one or you know, something that, you know, it's going to be tough. You're going to go through this. It's really tough to pray this. I always, you know, I'm kind of astounded that Jesus, you know, was able to pray that prayer looking at what he was about to face, you know. So again, try and sit here until you get this, but practical reality here is you may not get there in one session. It may take a long time. You may need to keep coming back to this. But your deal before my deal, whatever that might include. And then we'll finish with this one this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, give us this day our daily bread. This is kind of where the shopping list comes in. Yeah? We just read in verse number 8 that God already knows what it is we need. He already knows. So if he already knows, then what's the point of asking him? And I think it's because if we've been through this process, right, if we go through this idea of we get a fairly clear picture in our heads of the power and the holiness of God and who God is and who we are, you know, in comparison, and we have that kind of reasonably straight in our head as much as we can do it. And then if we've surrendered to the idea of your deal before my deal, whatever that entails, you know, all of that implies, it will greatly change our perspective and on these urgent things on our shopping list, even when they are urgent or important, it changes the way we look at them and we see them. So I would encourage you to put this into practice this week, if you can, as we're finishing up our month of prayer. So the first one there is, acknowledge and understand the power, glory, and holiness of God. And like I say, you may be able to, that may be an easy thing, and it may not be, depending on what's going on in your life at the time, right? But for that one, try and sit there and stay there till you get it. Second thing is, your deal before my deal, and all that implies. That is a hard prayer to pray. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, you don't really know what that's opening you up to. So there's a huge amount of trust, isn't there, in handing yourself over to God with that prayer, right? But this was the boilerplate that Jesus laid out for us. Yep, trying to get to that. And the third one, tell him what you need. Tell him what you need. Yeah, let him know. He wants to know. He wants to hear it. Even though he already knows, I think acknowledging that we need him, you know, there's a trust thing there as well. And it helps us, right? It helps us to understand, you know, we're reliant on God. In the young adults study, we've been going through Judges. And one of the things we've seen with Gideon, you know, started off really good. He would pray all the time. But as time went on, you know, after he won that big battle, you know, we were talking about this morning, then he stopped praying. You just see that he just starts making decisions. Yeah, I got this. This is fine. I got this, right? And God wants us to trust him. We need that connection. And when he stopped praying, he just kind of isolated himself a little bit. Stopped taking advice. Stopped, you know, hanging out with people who would have given him good advice, and things just kind of spiraled on him, right? So tell him what you need. It is important, right? God does want to hear it, and even the little things. Sometimes I feel guilty about it, you know, those prayers about, hey, God, I could really do with a car park right now, right? But God wants to hear, right? God knows what we need. But if we've done the first two steps, then we get a lot more focused about, yeah, I don't really need that. you just get a lot more focused on what it is that you need. So I would really encourage you to kind of go through these steps today and this week coming, particularly number two. If you sit in that number two, your deal before my deal. If we can really be surrendered in that sense, it will change you, right? It will change you. It will be scary. It'll be a roller coaster, but it'll be amazing. Yeah, and it will change us corporately. You know, if we're all on that page. So hopefully that's helpful. Let's pray now and kind of a little bit sort of go through those steps. And just kind of corporately go to God with this. Father, we do come very humbly before you, Lord, and we understand that you are the creator of everything. And, you know, I just think of all those things in the book of Job where you're asking Job, do you understand this? Do you understand how this works? Do you understand how the gravitational fields in the Pleiades works? Do you understand all these things? And because you created it all and you created us and you understand how we work and you love us because we are your creation. Lord, it's hard for us to, you know, our minds don't comprehend what your holiness is like how big and how powerful and how pure you are. But Lord, we just really want to concentrate on that this morning. We want to thank you for it. Lord, we do want to be surrendered. Lord, we do want to be able to pray your will be done. That's a scary thing, Lord, but we know that you're immutable. So you have our best interests at heart because it's what's best for you is what's best for us. But also your means of doing things, the method you do it, is also the best way of doing it. And Lord, that's really hard for us to comprehend sometimes. And, you know, sometimes life is really tough. And sometimes, yeah, there's just these curveballs that throw us. But Lord, thank you for the understanding of your presence. And Lord, thank you for the example of Christ that, you know, he was able to pray this before going through what he went through, you know, which is kind of unimaginable. Even when we read that story, it's kind of hard to comprehend. And he was able to pray this. And Lord, we just want to be a people that would also pray that to you. Lord, Lord, we do have things we need. We all, as individuals, have things we need. But Lord, as a church family, we just pray for unity. Lord, just for a singleness of purpose and focus, which is to love you and to love other people and share your love with those people because we love them. And, you know, there are lots of practical things that we need, but Lord, we know that you understand that and we thank you that you do. And we thank you that we have this connection to you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And thank you for the ultimate way that you showed that when your son, Jesus Christ, went to the wall for us, loved us to the uttermost, to the end. We thank you for that this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.